Then when we go to a guru, we have fear of rejection. A lot of fear of rejection. People have fear of rejection all the time. From a girlfriend, they're afraid to be rejected. From a boyfriend, from a job, from friends. Into a club, we go there, we don't dress up nice, we don't look good, we're afraid we're going to be rejected. You walk in there, 1 ounce of fat, they go, look at the fat girl. You go, oh, geez. Right? We always have that fear. Everywhere we go, we have fear of rejection. We go for our driving test. Oh, God, am I going to fail? But in Malaysia, there's foolproof ways to win. I didn't do it. I passed the honest way. I worked for it. Okay, anyways, so my point is fear of rejection. That I'm not qualified to get teachings. I'm not qualified to get bigger teachings. I'm not qualified to practice. I'm not a good person inside. You see, and some people, you know, some people, it's very, very, very detrimental, and they really waste their time, and they waste the people's love on them, around them. How do they waste it? Because they constantly feel they're not good enough, and they're not worthy of improving, and they believe that. They always believe they're not worthy of improving, that they can't improve. They believe that. It's the opposite of self-confidence, but it's a negative type. It's not humility. It's a detrimental, it's almost ego-covering. It's actually something that they do in order to avoid becoming better because their habits are very hard to change. So it's another mind game. And we have all these baggages. We have all these baggages. So we know that we're temperamental. We know that if the hotel is not nice, we can't take it. We know that if people don't say nice things about us, we can't take it. We know that. That if we are not the center of attention at a party, we can't take it. We know that if we don't have enough knowledge, they're going to look down on us. Maybe the way we dress, our financial background, our look, our appearance, our background, or whatever. We have this fear. We have all this fear and we have all this baggage. So when we go into a Dharma center, we go into a Dharma community, and people actually tell us how to remove that fear, it's very painful. It's like therapy. Why is it very painful? Because it makes you face something that you have fear of. And then the perennial saying is, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. So therefore, what happens? We have all this fear. We have all these projections. We project it on our teacher. So the minute the teacher looks at another person and gives them a gift, they say, well, why didn't I get a gift? Well, how come? Aren't I good enough? Oh, it's always been like that. You know, I was the third child. I was the middle child. Oh, in school, they didn't pay attention to me. You know, and then all these projections come out onto one event. So when the teacher gives them that gift, they say, why? So someone doesn't invite us to a party. Someone doesn't invite us to a get-together. We get very upset. We get very, very, all these fears come out. And we try to practice compassion and bodhicitta, but we can't because we haven't really attempted. And so all these fears come out. Look, I haven't been invited again. I'm not welcomed. I'm not respected. I'm not loved. But then on a deeper level, we think, but what did I do in my life to be respected? We know that. I didn't do anything. Yeah, I want it. So when people didn't invite me to something, I get very upset and unhappy. Why? Why? Because we feel that we're not worth something. But you see, that's not them. That's us. And all this anger comes out, all this fighting. All this anger and fighting comes out, and all this frustration comes out. Why? Because we have all this fear that we've been holding. Tremendous fear. Then if someone tells us, oh my God, you know what? You're aging. We have tremendous fear. Because maybe in our life we used our beauty to attract other people or to get attention. And because we used our beauty, we didn't develop our mind. We didn't develop our personality. We didn't develop compassion and kindness. We didn't develop higher qualities that are necessary in a human being. So therefore, we put in a lot of effort to make ourselves look beautiful, wear the great clothes, have everything fabulous around us. And when we walk in, we want everybody to recognize us. We have a title, we have a name, we have clothes, we have great hair, we have everything great. And then this bum walks in, who just walked in from the Sahara Desert, doesn't have any money, took a rotten taxi here, smells, and has no hair, and we all respect this person because they're kind and they're compassionate because they took years to develop this. So then we get frustrated. We get angry. We walk out. Oh, you know what? No one looked at me. No one gave me attention. I'm getting out of here. I'm somebody, you know? I'm somebody. That's why I got a title. That's why I got a name. That's why I got a car. That's why I got a house. That's why I'm beautiful. And I put all this effort into making myself beautiful and fabulous and wonderful and just great. And yet you still reject me. And the reason I do all that is because I wanted you to accept me. That my whole life, I wanted people to accept me. But people don't accept me. And therefore, I have to have big cars and big hair and big clothes and big title and big suits and big businesses and big names and big PhD holders so that you will respect me. Because I know deep down inside, I didn't do anything with my life to be really respected. And every time I go to a party and people don't look at me and they don't compliment how young I look, or how nice my hair looks, or how rich or fabulous I am, I get hurt. And I don't want to be involved and participate. Why? Because they're hitting on something very sensitive. But you see, when we go to Dharma, that's what we need to do. Instead of running away from that sensitive pain, we have to approach it. Why? How far can we cover it? How much can we cover? How much? So we have to think very carefully. And on top of that, you have to think very carefully. We know that maybe we lied. So maybe we know that what we say is not accurate, or we know that our speech is not pleasant, or we know that we use our speech in unpleasant ways in the past. So therefore we find less and less people listening to us. We find less and less people listening to our speech. So what we do is we repeat ourselves. We make our voice louder. We talk. We don't have punctuation between sentences. It goes continuously on. Why? So we don't feel the pain of rejection. That someone won't shut us up and tell us to keep quiet. Because deep down inside, we know we didn't do anything to earn anyone and even our own respect. So therefore, we know our own qualities inside. Therefore, some of us manifest this by anger. When we talk about something sensitive, we fight back. Some people, when we talk about something sensitive, they have body reactions. I'm not kidding. I've seen it. They scratch their hair. They scratch their bodies. They adjust their clothes. They look at something or they look away. Why? Because they know that deep down inside, they didn't put any effort into getting anyone's respect. So when you talk about something that they don't have, they look down, they scratch. They go this way. Why? They're not confident. So they hide more. Why do they scratch? Why do they look away? Why do they move things? Why do they fix their clothes? So you look at the scratching, you look at the clothes, you look at the books, you look at something else, so you won't look at them. Those people have never surrendered to the Guru, never surrendered to the Dharma. Why have they not surrendered to the Guru and Dharma? Because surrendering doesn't mean you live in the pain. Surrendering means the Dharma opens, the Guru opens that pain and lets you see and gives you the method that from that day on, from the pain, you work one day, 2 day, 3 day, and you overcome the pain. How? The Dharma teaches you the method to overcome anger so you won't be ashamed of your bad mouth in the future anymore. Because when we shout, shout, talk, talk, we're bad to people. The next day we feel shy. We feel embarrassed. We have to cover. We avoid. Why? Because of the way we acted. So the Dharma teaches us why we get angry, where the anger comes from, how to overcome the anger, how to apply to destroy that anger so that instead of receiving more pain from more anger, we use the pain as a lesson. We use the pain as a lesson. So when our Dharma teachers tease us, and our Dharma teachers scold us, and our Dharma teachers tell us off, if we react back in anger, in pain, or quiet, or run away, or I don't want him anymore, that's the way we've been acting our whole life to avoid this pain. That's how we've been acting our whole life to avoid this pain. And this pain was not given to us by anyone. Why? It came from us. So therefore, we run away from our gurus. Some of us fight with our gurus. Some of us reject our gurus. Some of us think negative thoughts and criticize the gurus. Why? Because a guru touched on something very sensitive in us. But listen, why did you hook up with a guru? Why? So you can go have tea? So you can talk about fashion? So you can go and do business with your guru? So you can take things from your guru? Why did you hook up with a guru? You hooked up with a guru to surrender to yourself. How do you surrender to yourself? The guru pinpoints to you what is creating your suffering and unhappiness. And then not only points it out, teases you, cajoles you, and points it out to you, but he also gives you the method on how to overcome it. That's the difference between a normal person scolding you and a guru scolding you. Therefore, it is said when a guru scolds you, it is like wrathful mantras. And those of us who fight with our gurus and reject and have negative thoughts, we have negative thoughts and reject everybody around us. So our guru is just another person to step on. Therefore, we don't surrender. When we want to run away from the guru, it's very deep already. You fight is not as bad. You're still there. But when you run away, the hope is lost. The hope is lost. So those of us who run away from the guru and teacher, they pretty much will suffer tremendously. Why will they suffer tremendously? Because the guru points to them what is creating their suffering, but they don't want to see and do something. So why would they not suffer anymore? Of course they will suffer. I'm not talking about suffering of hot and cold. I'm not talking about suffering of losing money or getting money. I'm not talking about suffering of cutting and stabbing. I'm not talking about the suffering of hunger and food. And I'm not talking about the suffering getting fat or skinny. I'm not talking about the suffering of bad weather. I'm not talking about those types of suffering. I'm talking about real suffering, the suffering of change. Not getting what we want. When we get what we want, we lose it. And when we have what we want, we know we will lose it. That is true suffering, the suffering of change. So therefore, a lot of people have guru issues. They have guru issues because they have the wrong idea of what a guru is. Wrong. And they also have wrong idea because they don't have enough knowledge. They didn't listen to the Dharma. They didn't make time for the Dharma. They didn't make effort for the Dharma. They didn't listen and think about it. So they have wrong ideas. So when we know we have fear, when we know that we have fear inside, we're protecting something. Some of us have anger. Some of us have done some naughty things in the past. Some of us are very jealous. Some of us have lied. Some of us have stolen. Many things. Some of us have cheated, or some of us, whatever we have, names and position, it wasn't acquired through hard work. We know that. You see, but the guru's job is not to point that out to you to hurt you. The guru's job is to point that out to you so that you don't hurt anymore. But if you fight back, if you retaliate back, if you run away, you have to expect more pain. I'll tell you why. Use your logic. Because before you met the guru, you already had that pain. Use your logic. Before you met your guru, you already had this pain. So the guru didn't create the pain. And if you run away from the guru, you're going to have the pain afterwards too. Why? Because the guru didn't give you the pain. So running away from the guru doesn't give you pain or take away pain. But you, in fact, when you run away or you don't meet your teacher, you hide the pain. So that no one knows you didn't make effort. No one knows you didn't push yourself. No one knows you didn't do something about yourself when you can. No one knows how many opportunities you have wasted. And people will see that. And you are afraid of that. Therefore, because you're afraid of that, certain things people talk about, you get angry. If they tease you, you get very angry. For someone tease you about one small thing can be anger 1, 2, 3, 4 years, or maybe really do a lot of negative things. Why? It's not what the person said. What they told you was true. And somebody knows, and you don't like that. And that's very sensitive. So if we can, if our friends tell us we don't listen, we fight. If our mother tells us we don't listen and fight. If our husband and wives and partners tell us and we don't listen and we fight. We have a history of fighting and not listening. Of course, when the guru tells us we're going to not listen, maybe fight, maybe run away, maybe avoid. Those who show negative action to their guru, who show a black face to their guru, who show bad body language to their guru, or reject their guru, or fight, or say negative things. It's not about the guru, you know. It's about themselves. Why is it about themselves? Because they don't want to find the guru inside of them. Why does rejecting the outer guru destroy the inner guru? I'll tell you why. Because the outer guru is just a messenger giving you a message. The guru is a messenger of Lord Buddha, giving you a message of someone who's become enlightened. Therefore, we respect the guru, we listen to the guru, we don't show negative actions, we don't fight back, and we never criticize, and we never talk about and debate and just joke about the guru. Why? Because we joke about ourselves. As Khenser Rinpoche of Ganden Shatse mentioned, the great Khenser Jampa Yishi Rinpoche, the great ex-abbot in the picture here, with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the great ex-abbot of Khenser Jampa Yishi says, if we don't learn to respect, nothing will be respected. When nothing is respected, we reach a level of impervious. And that's very bad. That's very bad. So therefore, we're hiding our anger. We're hiding our lack of knowledge. We're hiding our lack of position and station. We're hiding our lack of respect. We're hiding our lack of wealth. Some of us are hiding from the source of our wealth. We hide many things. So when people talk about that, we fight back, we ignore, we scratch, we cover, we run away, we avoid, or we divert their attention to something else. Why? Because it hurts us. So in Buddhism, what we need to examine is this. We believe in a higher power. We believe in the blessings of Buddhas. We believe in the holy Dharma protectors, such as Benden Lama, Setrap Mahakala. But that one is all outer. The real Dharma is here. You see, people always talk about Dharma protectors, which one is good, which one is bad. They always talk about which lineage is good. It's a waste of time. People who talk about that, it's a waste of time. It shows you how much they don't know Dharma. Do you think in the monasteries, the monks discuss that? Do you think the high lamas and students discuss that? Do you think the high lamas discuss that with each other? They don't. They discuss the mind. They discuss how to overcome the mind. They discuss meditation. They don't talk about protectors and lamas and lineage, who's good, who's bad. They don't talk about that. Why? Very small issue. Waste of time issue. It's like old ladies get together and talk about who's wearing what color hat. What high lamas and Dharma practitioners and Buddhists get together to talk about is the mind and transforming the mind, not to increase gossip, not to increase negative talk. Why? If you increase it or you help people to increase it, it's very bad. If you have knowledge, you must cut their talk. You must cut their talk by say, shut up, no, wisdom. And you must be firm. So what we need to talk about is like what we talk about in the monasteries, mind. Mind. I've studied so much, I bring it down to you in your language with your own language. So, I'm not a scholar, but I certainly know enough to explain things to you. I'm not a geshe. I'm not proud. I'm not proud. To me, when I die in a few years, doesn't matter if I'm a geshe or not. But if I had affected people's minds and the teachings continue, then I've died well. That's more important to me. I don't care if people think I'm a monk or I'm not a monk. I am. I don't care if people think what I dress and not dress. I don't care. I was born as a Rinpoche. That is what I'm born in from my previous lives, recognized by the high lamas. I didn't say, hey, recognize me. That's what they recognize me. So when people criticize me and say things about me, they also criticize the lamas. They criticize their masters. They criticize those great masters who have recognized this person. It's very dangerous. It's indirect. You're a bad son. You're so selfish. You're so bad. It reflects your mother. Your mother didn't teach you or raise you well. Same. So when you criticize the teachers and lamas, You criticize their lamas. You criticize their lamas and their lamas. You criticize their lineage. Very dangerous karma. Very dangerous. That word makes you block your mind from listening to the Dharma. We shouldn't. We like, we don't like, leave it. We like, we listen, we don't like, don't listen now. Never criticize. And some people today even talk about, big issues like, do they like the Dalai Lama? Do they not like the Dalai Lama? How can anybody not like the Dalai Lama? We're supposed to have compassion for a spirit, a ghost. We're supposed to have compassion for an evil force. In Buddhism, there's no magic or rituals to destroy evil. There are rituals to subdue them and bring them to the Dharma or to calm them down by compassion. So if we have to be very kind to a spirit, of course we have to be very kind to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, but that word is wrong. How can anyone be against a holy monk like that? Cannot. Whether he's your guru or no guru, who cares? He's a holy monk, the end. The end. So even people dare talk about that these days. Who has faith in Dalai Lama? Who doesn't have faith in Dalai Lama? Who likes Dalai Lama? Who doesn't? Oh dear. Stupid lay people with no knowledge and no study, too much time, too much money, fat, dumb, and happy, just talking about the lamas, talking about the Rinpoches. The Rinpoches for many lifetimes have emanated again and again to benefit others. When you criticize them, you criticize their whole lineage. You criticize the people that recognize them. You criticize the very people who put them on the throne. You criticize the whole institution. They cannot sit in an institution such as Ganden on a throne in front of many hundreds of monks and to be recognized and to be whatever. That means every monk and every lama, every geshe, every rinpoche, and every abbot is wrong. My. Bunch of silly lay people running around saying, who has faith? Who doesn't have faith? Whose lineage is pure? Whose lineage is not pure? Who's practicing this? Who's practicing that? My. I pray to the Buddha. I follow the Dharma and I respect the Sangha. The end. Whatever else I practice or don't practice, none of your business. Why is it none of your business? If you're higher than me, you can see when I'm practicing, you got clairvoyance, what? So you don't need to talk, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, you're stupid. You didn't practice. That's why you don't have clairvoyance. So you don't see nothing, blah, 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 blah. Then you become more stupid. You look like a duck, blah, 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 blah. Oh, chicken. If you're higher than me, you got clairvoyance. You can see when I'm practicing, you don't need to introspect and check and look and talk and gossip because you have clairvoyance. Since you don't, stupid. Then some people say, I better check this guru out, see what they practice and how they practice so I can see if they're qualified or not. You're so qualified, is it? You are so qualified to check out your guru and all the guru. You're so high. Who put you on the throne, dearie? Simple. It's simple logic. And I love every single Buddhist monk on this planet. Whether they follow my lineage or not, I don't care. He's not Tibetan Buddhist, he's a Thai monk. No, cannot. He's a Nyingma monk. No, cannot. He's a Gelugpa monk, but what side? The dark gray yellow Gelugpa or the bright yellow one? Which side? In between, you take your guess. I don't take any sides. I follow the Buddha. I follow the Dharma, and I respect the Sangha. Because I take refuge and I respect the Sangha, I don't criticize any person who wear any robes. Never. Then some lay people have the nerve to criticize monks. Hello! You're sitting around making money, doing your studies, playing on a computer, going out clubbing, having orgies, hanging out at the zoo because you're reincarnated from there. You know nothing about the monk vows. You know nothing about monk rules. You've not given your life and given yourself to meditation or practice ever. And then you can some more criticize the monks when you know nothing about their vows. You've studied not the Vinaya Sutra. You know nothing about their practice. Nothing about the holy Ganden lineage of Lama Tsongkhapa. You know nothing. Some of you never even been to Ganden. Sorry, I'm spitting. I'm getting passionate. I always spit when I'm excited. I don't know who said that. I'm so excited I can spit. RuPaul. RuPaul said, I'm so excited I can spit. I think I'm going to do that. Cha knows who RuPaul is. Cha takes refuge in RuPaul. Bill's like, I don't take refuge in RuPaul. That's goner. That's a has-been. I'm into the Buddha now. That's right. And he doesn't pray to any Buddhas without a yellow hat. That's it. He's made his firm stand. No Buddhas with no yellow hats. Tara's like, what about me? He's like, nope. Put on the yellow hat and come see me later. She's like, all right. And she's like, do I have to wear white? He says, no, just yellow. Then they can criticize the monk. They know nothing about monk vows. They know nothing about the monk rules and monk procedures. They have not dedicated. They have not shaved their hair. They have not hang out in gurus. They have not hang out in one god with the cockroaches. They have not hanged out anywhere. I've been living in Dharma centers for the last 30 years. I ran away from home when I was 15, and I slept on the streets, and I walked from New Jersey to Los Angeles with my Dharma bag full of books and this size my clothes. That's it. And I slept outside, and I begged for food. Why? Because at home, I'm not allowed to practice Dharma, so I left home. You don't do that here. That's American. Here, you respect your parents. They're very kind. Over there, I left. I walked across the United States, and I hitchhiked all the way. I was jailed. I was put in jail. I was beaten. I had crimes committed on me. I'll talk about it another day. I had a lot of problems. Crimes that might excite some people, so I don't want to talk about it right now. Oh, please. Why don't you find somebody to lick? I like that. That's a new one. Find someone to lick. You like that, JP? Find someone to lick. JP's like, oh, God, why did I have that drink? Why did I lick David? Why? But his inner self tells him, I don't regret it. Because Rinpoche won't reject me because of that. Thank God Ben wasn't there. His tongue is as long as my elbow and hand. That's Ben. Have you ever seen his tongue? It's very long. Why do you think Joe goes there and works with him at night all the time? I tell you, Joe saw Ben's tongue, and that's it. Not that Ben wants to lick him or anything, but the tongue thing gets, Joe likes it. It's a Taiwan thing, sausages, tongues, you know. So, now, any of you don't know what I'm talking about, ask one of these freaks here who went to the wedding. Any of the freaks here who went to the wedding, ask them. It was disgusting. The wedding was beautiful. The bride and the groom and the parents and all that was beautiful. We were disgusting. And we're going to do more. It's not going to stop. Okay, now there was one table of KH people, I won't mention any names, who sat there like this. They didn't lick anybody like. They were very Mahayanist conservatives, Theravada like. That's right. When they went home, they removed their halos and went to sleep. That's right. We won't mention who. But we will change them. Now. Anna's like, why wasn't I at the wedding? I haven't been licked since this morning. Why? Oops. Oh, dear. Kim's like, lick? Wedding? Lick? Better than a pub. Lick? He doesn't hang out drinking anymore. He comes here and listens to our sex dharma. This is better than the pub. See? You're not thinking about your problems anymore. You're happy. Okay, now. So, how can lay people anywhere criticize monks? It's a big no-no. Once you take refuge, you say, I'm a Buddhist, you cannot criticize monks. That's one of your vows. You cannot criticize anyone in robes. Whether they're in robes or not in robes, it's not for you to judge. You don't know their rules. You don't know what's allowed. And you don't judge one monk tradition of one country with another monk tradition. In Tibet, it's different because of situation, social, backing, and climate, environment is very different. So you don't take one rule of one country and apply it to another and then start judging. Very bad. Thailand, Japanese, Chinese, Tibetan, Korean, Mongolian, they're all beautiful individual Buddhist countries that had their beautiful Sangha community and their rules. You cannot compare. You cannot. Why can't you compare? Everything is different. Then here, you don't have a Malaysian Sangha. Some are Mahayana monks, some are Thai monks, some are Tibetan monks. You don't have a Malaysian Sangha. You don't have nothing, no platform to even compare yet. So we can't criticize monks. When someone starts criticizing monks, you have to tell them very nicely, please don't. You have your vows, or you're a Buddhist. Well, I didn't take my vows. Well, it doesn't give you the right to criticize people who have. What do you know their vows are? When His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama left Tibet, he wore a soldier's outfit with a gun. He broke his monk vows? No. He didn't want to get detected and killed. How long can a monk grow his hair? Do you know the rules? Do you know in what condition they can grow their hair? Do you know? Do you know? Or you don't know, you simply talk. Do you know how long they can grow their hair and under what condition? Do you know why? Do you know when a monk can wear lay clothes and not wear lay clothes? And why? Do you know why? Do you know what are the monks' vows? Do you know how many vows they have? Do you know what is the primary vows that's very strict and the other ones that with time you have to break? Not really break, bend. Do you know? Do you know there are some places in the world that monks can't go in their robes? They can get killed or abused. So what do you want them to get killed? Abused? Very ignorant. Don't criticize the monks. Don't compare one tradition with another. Hold your refuge vows. You don't have refuge vows, respect people with vows. Criticizing people with vows is very dangerous. If you can't respect even monks, there's nothing left. Do you study as hard? Do you hold your vows? Do you dedicate yourself to the monastery? Do you hold all your precepts and your vows? Do you? Or do you have a good time and criticize people who do? Do you go serve your lamas? Do you go work in the fields for the monastery? Do you attend the pujas every day? Do you do your studies? Do you do your retreats? Do you do any of that? You don't. Don't criticize those who do. Don't. Support them. Without them, Dharma cannot exist. That is a rule by Buddha. Don't. And then checking lineages. These days there's a big thing about checking lineages. Whose lineage is correct? Whose lineage is not correct? Who are you to judge? Who am I to judge? That's why I never make a comment about it. Never. Never. Very simple. In my center, in KH, we follow the traditions of Ganden, blessed by the traditions of His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, the end. Anything else, I don't reject, I don't comment, it's not good, bad. And anybody who don't follow that, I don't say it's bad either. I have no right. I have no right. Once I start criticizing, I have to criticize everything that's not my lineage. Then everything's wrong. The Thais are wrong, the Burmese are wrong, the Cambodians are wrong, the Japanese monks are wrong, the Chinese monks are wrong. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's doing everything wrong then. It doesn't stop. So I don't want to waste my time. I follow my lineage. I do my practice. If you want to do something else, it's good, it's bad. I don't know, but I don't care. Why don't I care? I don't have time. But if you follow my lineage, you will follow what we teach in Ganden. And there's nothing wrong with Ganden. Sarah, Drepung, Tashi, Longpo, everything came from Ganden. Everything. Ganden is the mother. Everything. My abbots know what I'm doing. My abbots endorse me. I can't break any rules. I go back and see them. I send them letters. I have monks come and visit me. I have Rinpoches come and visit me. My friends from Ganden, they go back and give reports to the abbot. Am I afraid of the abbot? No. I have nothing to be afraid of because I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not in Tibet. I can't teach and act and wear and dress and be as I'm in Tibet. There's different situations, very different. I'm in Malaysia. So it's very, very important. We don't criticize teachers, we don't criticize lineage, and we don't be judged. Whatever the Dalai Lama says is correct, the end. But there are two sides of a coin. He may say white at this time, and another time he can say black. Another time he say white, another time he say black. It depends on the time and the place. For some countries he go to, he say, hey, practice Tara. But then he goes to another country, he says, no, you practice Avalokiteshvara. Then is he lying? Is he wrong? No, it's the place and time and people. Cannot. And there are many people out there. Many people. There are many people out there who don't believe in the Holiness of the Dalai Lama. Because they're bad? Because they're wrong? No. They have their own lineage. They have their own practice. They have all their own traditions. Let them practice in peace and pray. Help. Donate. And send your energy to them to grow. All forms of Buddhism must grow. In the end, we believe in Buddha. Very simple. So what is that when we criticize lineage and we criticize this and this? It is our mind, projecting onto others again. Why is that? Why is it we cannot avert criticism or stop criticism? Because we don't have enough knowledge to stop criticism. If other people talk, we don't have enough knowledge. So we make up things to cover. We make up things to say things to make them respect us. Why do we criticize lamas? How can we criticize a lama? How can we criticize a tulku? Tulku in Tibetan means emanated body, one who can emanate back again and again, whether by prayers or consciously. They come back to teach. They come back to help. Check their actions. What do they do? How do they act? What do they do 24 hours a day? What have they been doing for the last 30 years? What have you been doing for the last 20, 30 years? Then you can check if they're tulku or not. Very simple. We cannot criticize. I'm not telling you not to. I'm telling you why you shouldn't. I don't. Never. 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 Respect all teachers, whether we feel they are right or wrong, or other people feel they're right or wrong. Respect all Sangha. We are not in robes. We don't have their vows. It's very heavy karma. Respect all lineages, Tibetan and non-Tibetan. And within Tibetan, all the lineages, respect. We're not in a position to criticize. And don't encourage and entertain negative talks of what is politically correct and not politically correct. Why is that? We're here to practice Dharma. Let's learn Dharma. We're here to learn about the Four Noble Truths, the Three Principal Paths, the Holy Graded Path to Enlightenment, Lam Rim. We're here to learn about the Four Preliminary Practices. We're here to learn about refuge. We're here to find our Yidam. We're here to find our Yidam within ourselves. We're here to find our teacher who can convey the Dharma to us. Who's our teacher? It says in this book, who's? Someone who can help you find yourself. Gyawan Drukchen Rinpoche. Gyawan Drukchen Rinpoche says here in this book, your root guru is not someone who sits on a high throne or has a big title or don't have a big title. Your guru is the one who helps you to find yourself. So do you have a guru that's nearby teaching you, taking the time, tirelessly teaching you, endlessly and patiently, again, teaching you and sharing with you and helping you and instructing you again and again? Then you criticize this person, you criticize all your hopes for enlightenment. Why is that? This person gets nothing from you. Nothing. In fact, some of you give harm back to the person, yet they tirelessly teach you and help you. Against criticism, against people saying negative things, against obstacles. So many obstacles. So many. Other religions criticize. Our own religious people criticize. Other lineages criticize. People within the center criticize. So much. But these people, these lamas never give up. They continuously teach and help. So what is that? Definitely they're different than us. Definitely they're different than us because we give up. The minute someone criticizes, say bye-bye. But they don't. That is a tuku. One who comes back to teach again and again and again. Of course, there are different levels of tukus, but then again, if we're not higher than them, how can we tell what level they are? Very simple. If you don't know what they are, you don't know what they're doing, A, you didn't study, B, you don't have the attainments. So if you don't have the knowledge or the attainments and you criticize, when you criticize a person who may have the attainments or who is achieving those attainments, you create the karma not to ever get those attainments ever in this life. Why? Some gurus are revered by hundreds of people. They take them as their refuge, they believe. When you criticize their guru, you break everybody's faith. They go away from Dharma. You created that, not the guru. You created that. You created that. You accept the karma of every person that go away from the guru. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. The karma is very dangerous. So when you do that, you will create the karma. You will not have harmony in your life ever. That when you hear religious dharma, when you hear real dharma, you cannot accept. And if you accept, you cannot practice. If you practice, you cannot finish. Definitely cannot. Why? Because you created that karma for others to go away. So why is it that if we make offerings to the Buddha, if we make offerings to the Buddhas, we collect merit, but if we criticize, we don't collect demerit? Why? Why is it a lama, a high lama in Ganden, they put them on a throne, the monks make offerings to the lamas. Lamas is not monks. Lamas in Tibetan tradition means a reincarnated teacher. Lama refers to tuku or rinpoche. Lamas is not referred to monks. Lamaism is all wrong words. Nobody speaks my language here. Okay, maybe we got one clown there that speaks one or two words. No, lama refers to rinpoches or tukus, reincarnated beings or teachers, your teacher. So, when you criticize another person's teacher, what's the pain you create in their minds? What's the pain? Even if their teacher is wrong, inverted commas, but they're still getting some benefit, they're still transforming their mind. Still. So it's very, very important that we practice abstinence of encouraging, abstinence of negative speech, towards the holy Dharma, its teachers, its monks, its Sangha, and its lineages. It's very important we practice that. Do you know why? We don't want to create more toward religious turbulence. We're destroying our own religion. We're destroying our own Buddhism from inside. This cannot, that cannot, that cannot, this cannot, that cannot. We destroy it from the inside. Then we say we're Buddhists. We say we like Dharma. No. We're destroying Dharma from the inside, not from the outside. We don't have any enemies. Malaysia is a beautiful country. It encourages multi-pluralistic existence. All religions. What a beautiful society. Malaysia doesn't destroy it. We destroy it by our mouth. And our mouth is an extension of our lack of knowledge, is our lack of study, lack of understanding, lack of contemplation, lack of attainments. So if you criticize others, two things. A is you don't have attainments. B, you didn't study. Because high lamas in Ganden, I don't hear them criticizing, ever. Ever. So I usually follow their example. I don't follow normal people's example. I don't hear Kabji Lati Rumchi. I don't hear His Eminence Kabji Sonramchi. I don't hear Kasigurda, His Holiness Trijan Dorji Chang, anything in their teachings, or Lama Yeshi, anybody criticizing others. Never. Not even other religions. Never. So that's the example I follow. Do you know why? When I die, you won't go with me. Me and my karma will go with me. So if someone seems to be a high Lama, benefiting many beings, and I criticize, that karma will go with me. Very dangerous. Why is that very dangerous? How does it help us? How does it help your practice? How? How does it help your own practice? So it doesn't help your own practice. We have to think carefully. What do we have to think? Is it beneficial to continue this action? No. No. In my center, with my students and my friends and people who are associated with me, I encourage them to respect all religions. Always. Never criticize. Never. Even if there's something there you see is wrong, keep quiet. Why? You don't know. I encourage my people and my center to always respect other forms of Buddhism, other lineages. Even lineages that we don't feel comfortable with or we're happy with or it's politically incorrect, I don't criticize. Why don't I criticize? I'm a Dharma teacher, not a teacher of politics. I don't teach politics. And on top of that, in my Dharma center, I follow the holy lineage of Ganden, and I will not do any other lineage. And I'll tell you why. I don't know any other lineage. I joined Ganden. I've been with Ganden teachers my whole life. I've been studying the Ganden tradition since I was 8 or 9. I don't know any other traditions. I can't teach you what I don't know. Doesn't mean the other lineages are wrong. No, no, no. That's one. And I follow the lineage of Ganden. Do you know why? If it's good enough for the high lamas of Ganden and the monks, and it was instituted by Lama Tsongkhapa 600 years ago, I think it'll be good enough for us clowns. For me, clown, and you, clown, it'll be very good. If the holy monks of Ganden can follow, clowns like me, no problem. And whatever His Holiness says is correct, I'll tell you why. I don't look deeper. I don't examine deeper, he's correct or not correct. I'll tell you why. He works very hard. He works very, very hard. He holds his vows purely. He single-handedly brings Buddhism to the world. Single-handedly. Without His Holiness the Dalai Lama, much Dharma cannot grow in this world. And whatever he says, whether in our eyes, in our ears, sometimes sound negative or right or wrong, we shouldn't judge. He has his reasons. It is said during his previous incarnations as the King Sun Tseng Gampo, during the Dalai Lama's previous incarnation as the King Sun Tseng Gampo in Tibet, you can look it up, Sun Tseng Gampo. Tibet was not unified. So therefore, there was a lot of fighting and factionalism. In order to bring Dharma in, he had to unify the country. So you know what His Holiness did? He emanated an army. And he emanated factions and enemies. And for the populace and for the people and the villagers and the different factions in Tibet to see this, and they fought with each other. And he led the forces. And he fought with them. And he killed them. And he destroyed them. And when he was done with these people, he emanated them back. Why? To subdue them with war. Because Tibetans before that were warlike. So they respected Sun Tseng Gampo for his generalship. They respected him for his power. And they respected him for his command. Because of that, he unified Tibet. And in his future incarnations, He came back as high lamas to teach the Dharma. Why? He needs to bring people to study Dharma, then he taught the Dharma afterwards. That's why in Sonzen Gampo, if you look in Potala, they have a statue of him in Tibet. He's always there with his two wives, a Nepalese and Chinese wife, Wen Cheng. He brought the Jor Rinpoche. The Chinese wife brought the Jor Rinpoche to Tibet, the most famous statue. The Nepalese wife bought the other statue that had encased in Tibet, two very holy ones. He's always pictured there with his two wives and Amitabha coming out of his head. He has a turban with Amitabha. His name is Gyalpo Sonzen Gampo, and he is considered a previous emanation of His Holiness. Why? Bodhisattvas don't kill. They don't harm. But they may say things or do things or emanate things to make it look like that to subdue our minds for that time and place. So when everybody was killed, he became king. He dissolved them back. So these days, whatever His Holiness says, whatever he does, it may look this way or that way, this way, that way. Don't doubt. Don't criticize. Leave it. Everything will be dissolved back. Everything. That's what I believe. That's what the monks believe. You see, I don't think of him as some spiritual, or some religious, a political leader, all that stuff like that. I'm not concerned with politics. I respect him very, very much because he's a great monk. A great monk. Who's a Mahapandita, the greatest scholar on this planet of Buddhism. I biasly believe the greatest scholar. And in our center, every single day when we finish our prayers, we do a dedication, it starts like that, to dedicate our merits to the long life of His Holiness every single time we meet. Why is that? He works so hard. We can't help him. We don't give him any money. We don't give him anything. We don't do anything. So we must send our prayers and energy to him. So some people say we can't send energy and prayers to him. Why not? I can send my energy and prayers to anybody I want. Why? I don't have energy and prayers. I invoke the Buddhas. Why did the Buddhas listen to me? A clown, a nobody, a stupid? Because they have compassion. You think that the Buddhas listen to you because you're a dato? You think the Buddhas listen to you because you teach acting? You think Buddhas listen to you because you have a long tongue? Buddhas listen to anybody who invoke upon their compassion, because the Buddha, from the side of a sinner and the side of a goody-goody, is the same. Their compassion is the same. So if you're a goody-goody, you know, you don't listen to music, you don't listen to rock music, you don't wear any revealing clothes and show your cleavage, you know, and you're very clean, you only talk nice things, you eat grains and whole wheat vegetables, you don't eat meat, you don't pollute the earth, you know, you don't pee outside, you know, you don't use any chemicals, and you're really a goody-goody, wonderful, lovey-dovey, holy-schmoly person with halo. The Buddha loves you. And if you're like me, obnoxious, loud, rude, unconventional, non-conservative, love people who lick people, the Buddha loves me the same as other people. He loves me just as much as he loved the holy, smoly people. Do you know why? If he didn't, he's not a Buddha. So isn't that the example we should look at? To follow the Buddha's mind, not other people's mind. You see, when we listen to Dharma teachings, how our mind changes, how we get knowledge. You know why? I give you a basis, and I give you logic, not superstition. I don't give you stories. I give you logic and basis. So when you leave my Dharma talks, you go out there less stupid. That's right. Less stupid. Just like me, every time I leave a Dharma talk, I'm less stupid. It's okay. I don't mind admitting I'm stupid. I don't mind at all. I'm not a Buddha. I'm not a Buddha. I'm not a Buddha. Okay, expose. I'm not a Buddha. Put it in Singju newspaper or whatever it is. I'm not. Tenrinji says he's not a Buddha. 99% out there say, we knew that. 1% say, oh no, really? And you'll be like, really, you're not a Buddha? Did he lick you? Why are you so happy? Oh my, oh dear. Your victim is nearby. So that's what we have to think about. I'm giving you logic. So therefore, what is a guru about? When you get close to your guru, you get closer to yourself. Do you know why? Unlike other people who press your buttons, unlike other people who offend you and talk about sensitive issues with you, they usually don't have a method to help you overcome it. So it's like pressing a button again and again. Each time they press it, you have pain. when someone out of compassion, a teacher, hopefully, and who knows the method how to overcome that, presses your button, it hurts just like anybody else pressing your button, but they also offer you medication, the Dharma. I'll give you an example. If you broke your arm, and your friend comes and touches, go like that, it's painful, isn't it? If you go to a doctor, he touches, it's painful, isn't it? Well, one heals, one doesn't. Very simple. So what do you want? Do you want to go to the doctor, he touches you, you bite the doctor, you go away, kick him, scream, or you say, okay, and then a few months later, you're healed. You think. So when you go to a guru and he presses your buttons, he teases you, he talks to you, don't ever assume your guru cannot see through you. Don't ever assume. You'll be making a very big mistake. Don't ever assume. Don't ever assume that your guru is limited, that your guru cannot see more than one or two or a group. Don't ever assume. Don't ever assume your lies and mind games and tricks and cover that worked on the outside work with your guru. Don't ever assume that. If you assume that, you push yourself away from the inner guru. You got to open yourself up to somebody. Why not yourself? So when you go to a doctor and he touches you and you have pain, he'll examine what's wrong and then he'll put the right treatment. When you go to your friend and he touches your broken arm, you're going to scream and have pain because after that, it's the same thing. You go to your other friend, touch you, go to another friend, touch you, and then JP comes and licks you. Ow! JP's like some kind of female dog, licky, licky. I got a better name, but we're on film. Yeah. But when you go to a doctor, there's a difference. So when the guru picks on you, teases you, or forces you, or makes you do things, you say, oh, I don't have time. Oh, dear. Oh, I've got an appointment. Or, I'm not ready for this. Honey, you're 105 years old. When are you going to be ready? And you make noise. It's like going to the doctor, and the doctor touches you. You say, cannot. Oh, I cannot. I don't want this needle. I don't want that. I want to put this. I don't want to take that or that. Go home. Here, let me break your other arm. Think. So when we go to a guru, what do you want? The guru cannot criticize you, cannot tell you you're wrong, cannot catch you in a bad mood, cannot catch you on the wrong day, wrong time of the month. The guru cannot say anything wrong to you. The guru always has to be perfect. He has to be your friend, and he has to be a guru. So when he goes out yum chai with you, he's got to be a friend joke. You don't want to be official, and he can this, cannot that, can this, can that. But when he's on the throne, he's got to be Buddha. You want your guru to be some kind of actor. What do you want? And then your guru is you're just one complicated person. One. Cannot talk like that with you, cannot act like that with you, cannot this, cannot that, cannot pray to this, cannot meditate on that, cannot do this lineage, cannot do that. You have all these rules for your guru. Then on top of that, that's for one person. Then each person have their own hang-ups and baggage and their emotional crap. So the guru's got to switch around like chameleons. With this person, I'd be like that, cannot this, oh, this one cannot, that can't. By the time the end of the day, what do you think? You think about it. All the emotional crap you lay on your guru. Every single person is so different, but there's only one guru. One. So how come the guru can deal with so many people and you can't? Why? There must be some difference in the practice. That's another sign of your guru. There's a difference in their mind, their practice, their determination. They can deal with so many, so much pressure and problems for nothing, but you cannot. It shows you their qualities. So that one should encourage. You don't go, oh, wow. Licky, licky, my guru. That's my theme tonight. The name of this video will be We Can Lick Samsara. No, we're just called Lick It. That's better. Lick It. It's inspired by certain people. So the name of this video is called Lick It. Lick what? Lick Samsara. Don't you love it? Lick It. So forever this video will be in our annals as inspired by three wonderful individuals who attacked another one. Yes, lick it. And I know what we're going to put on the cover, all these people licking what? Oh, yes. We're going to put them on the cover because I got them in my MMS and we can print it out, small file, no problem. We'll dot out the eyes, you know, the white out the eyes, but we'll still know who it is. Oh, yes, it'll be on the cover. Lick it. Isn't that so us? I love it. Paris is like, it's great. Paris is not into the forest meditation goody goody crap stuff. That's right. She doesn't want to be a holy Buddha. When she becomes enlightened, she's going to be more wild than Vajrayogini. More wild. That's right. Vajrayogini is completely naked. And he's stepping on a man and a woman. She's going to step on both men. And her mantra is going to be, "Om men are playthings for women. Hong pe." That's what she wore a shirt like that before. Kim's like, I don't mind. I don't mind being your plaything. Oh, dear. And Paris, I got one condition. You got a lot of saliva? JP's like, what about me? What about me? Me, me, can I get involved? Two is boring, three is fun. That's JP's philosophy. He looks all goody-goody nice with all the shirt and all pretty much. At a party, he's like, mwah. In fact, when they pulled him out of that wedding hall, they had to, it was like, mwah. Oh my, it was like a sucker fish. David had to put antibiotic cream for a few days. Oh dear. All right, so that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of all this emotional, oh my God, this clock doesn't work. I was thinking, why is it still 8:30? I think it's so early. I'm not kidding. Oh dear. All this time I was thinking it's so early. I'm not kidding. Oh dear. Well, wonderful assistance I have. See, check the batteries. All right, let's get rid of that. Here you go. Catchy, catchy. All right, now I'm going to follow the real clock. Now I got to speed it up because I'm only on page one. But it's once a month. Wait till you see what I have in store for you guys next month. You hang around. It's really interesting. It's really interesting. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. I found two wonderful videos that were sent to me. Somebody met me by the, YouTube or something like that. And anyways, we became friends, and they sent me videos. And it's Words of My Perfect Teacher. And it's a very beautiful chronology on his eminence, Dzongsa Khyentse Rinpoche. And it's beautiful. Shows him in London, you know, wearing a great fedora hat. Shows him in Bhutan, blessing thousands of people. It shows him walking down off a train in black, sleek clothes, walking by his students, making them wait 3 hours. They don't know what happened to him. He's fabulous. But his teachings are penetrative. And on the back of this is a beautiful Cry of the Snowland on Tibet. So our next month assignment is going to be you guys watch these two videos. Don't you love that? Who likes the new book club assignment? Raise your hand. Oh, good. Let me see. Oh, dear. Keep it under the dress. Oh, she was like, someone take him to Bangkok fast. He needs it. I'm telling you, it's gushing out. Dear, dear, we got to take him to Bangkok. Oh, he did go to Bangkok. He was walking around looking at people. He was following cross-dressers and watching them. Yeah, he came back, gave me full detail how they wear, where they went. He actually followed them down the streets, cross-dressers, you know. All right, drag queens. Yes. He came back and told me whole detail of what they eat, what they do, how they talk, what they look, what they wore. Perfect memory, and he was awake. I was amazed. I was like, you went to Bangkok, and that's what you want to tell me? How big was the Emerald Buddha? Oh, yes, I'm not kidding. Very interesting person. All right, so that's our fear. That is our fear of the Dharma. That's a fear of our guru. So when our guru says something, we're afraid he's going to press on something that's very sensitive. And then we reject, we fight. And there are students who go away from the gurus. There are students who actually go away from the gurus because they told them something that they don't like. I had centers before. I had centers in Singapore. I had centers in Malaysia. I had a fallout with them. Why did I have a fallout with them? Sorry to say. Because they wanted to make me do things that I know was not correct. I don't want to go into details, but I know a lot of people here who know the details because they are with me. They used to shout at me and threaten me. Shout and physically threaten me. Physically. Physically threaten me. If I don't do this and this and this, they're going to wallop me. They used to tell me that. I said, huh? Yes, they physically threaten me. They're business people. So what am I? I'm a cash cow. Oh, yes. I was physically threatened. So I said, never mind. Compassion. I consulted my guru. What they said, never mind. So I gave the center to them, gave everything back to them. What was theirs? Give back. You can ask my older students. We don't talk about it, not because we're embarrassed. I don't want to embarrass them. I'm not embarrassed. I didn't do anything wrong. So people have that rumor, you know, why? And so they say things to cover. They say things to cover what's been done. They say things to cover what is true and not true. They cover. Why do they cover? Because they're embarrassed. Some of them came back and apologized to me. Made offerings? Oh, yes. A big group, in fact. Came back and apologized, made offerings, said, we're sorry. I don't see them anymore because they're embarrassed, but they apologized. Some still like, oh. I'm like, okay, whatever. Many of the centers here, no, a few of the centers here, four, and a few of the centers in Singapore, two, was directly started by me or indirectly by me, they opened. Oh, yes. That I taught there. I put my people there. I started them off, and they met Ganden, the lamas, through me. Six centers in this region were started directly by me and indirectly. That is history. If I tell you the name of the centers, you'll be shocked. You can ask my older students. Shocked. Oh, yes. And I'll open more, and I'll do more. But once they get big, they get good, they say, I don't know you anymore. Whatever. That's how lay people act. That's how lay people act. That's how people with Dharma, no Dharma, act. So how do I react back to them? Never mind. They have a Dharma center. They're studying. They're doing practice. Do. No problem for me. Why no problem for me? When I die, I can't take the Dharma centers with me. What do you mean? Burn them up and offer it to me with a chicken? Keep your Dharma center locked. I'm not attached. Why am I not attached? No choice. They took it away. Yeah. <no. laughs> What to do? I have no choice but to not be attached because it was taken away. Someone snatches your purse away, you can't be attached. They took it away. See you later, purse. First of all, so I'm trying to tell you, Buddha, I'm not attached. No, I'm not a Buddha. I am attached, but they forced me not to be attached. Thank you very much. And I met people like that. And I'm not the only Lama. I'm not only Rinpoche. I've heard many cases because when we go back to the monastery, we talk. We talk. We keep it quiet because it's shameful. I'm not the only one. And some of these people, when they broke off from me, they broke off again. Then they broke off again. Oh, yes. Nobody knows. So what's my point? You like politics? I wet your tongue. I give you a few drops. Now we go back to Dharma. See, all of you are like, oh. Look, this guy's like, right there. Ben's bored. He's like, Chow wants to go back to Bangkok. I mean, the story, that is. JP's a little tongue-tied. Oh, dear. Licky, licky. He even told me. He sent me SMS back, VIA somebody, I forgot who, and asked me to try it sometimes. I'm like, dear Rinpoche, you should try it yourself. I'm like, how do you know I didn't? I'm good at a lot of things. You'd be surprised at, dearie. It'll shock you to the core of your tongue. And that's why I'm controversial. Why am I controversial? Because I bring Dharma to the people according to their way. So a lot of conservative people, straight-edge people, people who think if they have rules and stuff, they don't accept. It's okay. My monastery accepts me. My guru accepts me. My abbot accepts me. And the Buddha accepts me. So if you don't accept me, it's all right. No problemo. Because you don't matter, they do. Rude. Well, I'm going to listen to people who've been in rows for 50, 60 years, who are shaved and bald, who have manners, who practice Dharma, do retreats, and they're high lamas. And they're happy with me, I'm going to listen to them. I'm not going to listen to a bunch of freaks, a bunch of lay people, a bunch of people who don't practice Dharma, don't know anything, criticize and talk and be hurt by that. No. I used to be 20 years ago. 10 years ago. All right, 5 years ago. Not anymore, because I've moved on. I've moved on. I've grown from the pain. I've learned from the hurt. I've explored and expanded beyond my limitations. Don't you hate all that therapy crap? You're here to find yourself. Oh, geez, they walk out of there in a dress. I'm like, that's yourself? Oops. Some people leave therapy wearing all white. I'm like, oh, you found yourself, huh? Don't you hate it? Every time you wear white, you walk by someone and says, hey, who died? only in Malaysia, like America, they don't think that. They say, hey, Virginia. Some people, they're an American mind in a Malaysian body. Well, I'll tell you why they wear white, because the virgin in them died. Oh, dear. So, if we have these fears, if we have these fears, my friends, that's what's causing your anger. The lack of effort, the lack of study, the lack of practice, the lack of enthusiasm, your inconsistency, you know how much of that you have. And because of that, you didn't achieve maybe this or that or what you wanted to achieve. So you're hiding that. And therefore, when people say things or do things, whatever, it makes you feel low, not respected, down, away. You don't feel like you have attention. Why? It's not them doing that to you. It's yourself knowing what you have not done. And that's the truth. So when you go to a guru and he explains these things or teases you or scolds you or tells you off or does things or to help you and you reject and you fight and you run away, you have to expect more pain. Do you know why? It's not the guru or people. It's because your pain will get bigger with time. With time, your pain gets bigger because your body ages, your mind ages, your chances go, you will have more and more problems. Why? It's you. It is you. Therefore, we have to transform. It is never too late to transform. Do you know why it's never too late? Don't look at your existence in one lifetime. Don't look at your existence in one lifetime. Don't. Look at it many streams of lifetimes. So go to your guru doctor who will set your arm back in right. How do you know your guru has compassion? By how much he teaches you. How do you know your guru has love? By how much he repeats himself the same teachings again and again to you. How do you know your guru is skillful? Because the guru comes down to your level, eats and drinks and helps and teaches you and plays with you and teases and cajoles you to practice the Dharma. How do you know your guru is kind and generous? Because the guru is always trying to give things to you, not get things. How do you know your guru has perseverance and endurance? Because he never gives up on you. So when you find such a being, you call them your guru because that person will help you find the same qualities inside of you that we all have. That's what a guru is all about, is finding those inner qualities that we all have. See, the guru is not pointing to something that you don't have. He's pointing to something that you have. How kind is my Lord Guru, who patiently teaches me, who guides me, who takes care of me, and I give nothing or very little in return. What can I give my guru in return? Expose on my internal fears. Expose and revealing my internal pains. Expose and really revealing my inner fears. Because why? You've lived with fears and pain for so many years. It won't get better. Why? As it goes on, it accumulates more. More and more. If you have a dirty shirt, you don't wash it, it's going to get dirtier and dirtier. 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. If you have bad speech, you don't control it now, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. If you make enemies with your speech, the enemies will grow more. Why? Because your speech hurts everybody. So wherever you go, whatever you do, you will create more enemies with your speech. That's why if we don't control our speech, the sufferings will get more. So if we have one or two people hating us or talking back to us or showing us a black face or avoiding us and don't like us, expect 4, expect 6, expect 8, expect 10. Why? Why? Because nobody likes that. So we have to change. Why is it never too late? Better to have 8 people that hate us instead of 16. Better to have 16 people that hate us instead of 30 or 40 or 50 or 100. That's why. You say, oh yeah, add it to the list. Don't be so stupid. Don't use that as a cover. Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's very, very important. So therefore, rely on the message, not the personality of the teacher. Listen to what the teacher is telling you. Listen to the Dharma that he's giving you. Listen to it, not his personality. I'll tell you why. Very simple. Your teacher will die. your teacher will not be with you forever. And even before your teacher dies, he cannot be with you 24 hours a day holding your hands. So you need to listen to the words. Rely on the meaning, not just the words. The words sound nice. The words sound great, and it's beautiful. You write it down and put it in your notes, and you email it to your friends or whatever. But you need to listen to the meaning. The meaning is, are you doing it? Are you doing it? Rely on the meaning and not the provisional ones. What does provisional mean? Anybody know what provisional means? David? Can we use a simpler word? I'm not so educated. Huh? Rely on the meaning and not the ordinary one? Very good. Don't look at the superficial meaning, as I described with the Dalai Lama. Look at the real meaning deep inside of the teachings. Don't look at superficial can, cannot. Rely on wisdom and not your judgmental mind. That's very clear. So when we accept the guru, when we accept the teacher, when we accept the Dharma, do you know what you're accepting? You're accepting yourself. And when you listen and you respect the teacher, you're respecting yourself. Why? What the teacher tells you and you do, you will achieve those qualities. Therefore, you respect yourself. If you fight against your teacher and don't do what your teacher tells you, you fight against yourself. Because what is the teacher telling you? The teacher may use many methods and tactics and ways to tame you and to help you to control yourself, help you, many ways. If every instruction that teacher gives you and every kind of method or any kind of practice the teacher gives you always makes excuses not to do it or reject it or stop it or fail or again not do it, then you reject yourself. Why? Overcoming your anger and greed and hatred and jealousy, how does it benefit the teacher? You say, oh yeah, well, if they overcome that, the center grows and get more money. Heck, I don't need a center to make money. I can open a business and make more money. Much more money. Why open a center and make money? Trust me, you don't make money. No. You want to make money? Do business. I tell you, the Dharma business, you don't make money. You suffer. You suffer, you don't make anything. I'm still trying to get rich. You don't make money. And if you're in it to make money, either you're stupid or you're a loser. You don't have any other way. Okay, I'm both. But I'm not making any money, so I'm still losing out. Look at me. I get rid of all this stuff, get out of this country, go somewhere nobody knows me. Don't you think I can do business? Don't you think I can make money? Don't you think I can do other things than just sit on a throne and entertain a bunch of clowns with big clown here? Don't you think I can do other things? Don't you think I have other ways to make money? That's right. I don't need to make money. Some people say, hey, Rinpoche's greedy. I am greedy. Give me money. I'll show you where I send it. I'll show you what I do with it. I'll show you. Mother Teresa is greedy too. She always said, give me this, give me that, give me the land, give me this, give me that, give me. She, read her book. She's always like, gimme, gimme, gimme. That's her mantra. And what does she do with it? Look at Reverend Chang Ying in Taiwan. She's filthy, filthy rich. She doesn't use one dime for herself. She uses for everybody. Yeah, I want money. I am greedy. Give me money, 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 money. You give me money, I love you. Why? I help you to give, and you help many people who receive. But for myself, no. It's very rare I ask things for myself, very rare. Unless I'm desperate. Even then, it's not for myself usually. Very rare. Why is it? Why am I so good? Because I have a firm belief I don't need to use religion to make money. I have that firm belief. And everybody think opposite or contrary, it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me. Whatever I do, people are going to like me, don't like me, like, don't like, whatever. No problem. Some people like me, they don't like me. Then they don't like me, they like me again. Whatever. And they get on my nerves, I send JP to lick them. Very simple. They won't bother me after that. And that doesn't work. There's Kenny's big tongue. Did you see Kenny? Oh, dear. His tongue is as long as his feet. Very revealing. Very revealing. JP, keep it together. Keep it together, JP. JP's trying not to laugh, but he's giggling away. Look, look, look. He's keeping it together. Not JP. Licky, licky. What's his name, everybody? 1, 2, 3. It is your guru's command that from now on, his dharma name is Licky Licky until he takes refuge. So remember, if anybody calls him JP, they're going to go to hell. From now on, his name is Licky Licky. You want to make it short? It's a little long. Call him LL. What's the difference? JP, LL. Two consonants, what? LL. And if people ask why, say Licky Licky. And they ask why, show them the picture. Most of you have gotten it. Never delete it. Never. Use it as your screensaver. And if JP wants to opt out of VPC as the head, we show his mother the picture. And if he wants to opt out of any work and doesn't want to meditate and become a Buddha, we show his whole family the picture. The only way we won't show his family the picture is if he becomes a Buddha. And he practices compassion. That's right, Licky Licky. I love it. I got him back for that nasty SMS. I know, I'm a little vengeful. I'm not as bad as Ben, but I'm vengeful. Ben's been getting me back with that haircut. Really. And he sits in the front, makes me stare at his bald head. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I didn't notice. Oh, dear. It's a movement. Look. There's three bald mushrooms here. Look, it's a movement. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Chakra's hair died for the New Year's. So, a relationship with our teacher helps us to be authentic. That's a summary. A relationship with our teacher helps us to be authentic. It helps us to find ourselves. Ultimately, your teacher's purpose, by any means, is to help you to gain freedom from emotional disturbances you create to others and yourself. Whether your teacher is an enlightened being, like His Holiness, or Trijang Rinpoche, or Song Rinpoche, or His Holiness Karmapa, or Sakya Trinzen, whether he's an enlightened teacher like them, or he's an ordinary monk or nobody like me, as long as they know the method and they have love and they share this with you, the message is the same. Whether the Dalai Lama teaches you the method, or an ordinary Dharma book teaches you the method. Of course, there's more blessing from the Dalai Lama, but if we practice it, we can get results. We can get results. And that's what we want. That's what we want. A relationship with our teacher helps us to make our mind authentic. Page 57 and 58. Last paragraph. Sogyal Rinpoche says that we can attend teachings and meditate for years, but it often doesn't touch or change our basic being. The whole point of meditating is that it can be change our fundamental attitude and that we should keep not our meditation and our daily lives separate. It can change who we are so that we do realize before it is too late, before we or others die. We seem to stubbornly persist in our habitual patterns despite intending to change. After a while, we can also become what we call Dharma stubborn or Dharma immune. We think that we have heard the teachings before and don't let anything in. We have to complete all the teachings rather like taking a course of antibiotics, finishing the whole cycle. Otherwise, we build up a resistance. So taking Dharma teachings is you have to finish the whole cycle, or it's like antibiotics, you build up a resistance. Because we think we know better and don't have the humility to know our own ignorance. The only reason we cannot finish Dharma practice is we're not humble. Enough. We close ourselves off and our ego becomes even stronger. We become frightened to be open and vulnerable and takes risks to trust and to learn new ways of doing things. Then the paragraph right below that, we are so afraid just to give in, even once, and do what the guru asks us to do. We think that it means that we have fallen under this person's control. and that we will somehow lose our freedom and independence, our free will, and therefore our money, our partners, and family, and become part of a cult. The paragraph before the last, as well as his sweetness and softness, like his teacher, Mauro also demonstrates that he can be extremely powerful when the occasion calls for it. His experience of working closely with Rinpoche and other lamas over the years has honed or sharpened his awareness and skills so that he can help other students effectively. He explains clearly the usefulness of Rinpoche teaching in a wrathful manner, cutting through directly to the heart of the matter, and he also embodies that quality himself. His ability to let go of himself and encourage all of us to take risks and just to make the attempt to try is his gift to us. So what is this guy telling us? To work with our teacher or to receive teachings from our teacher or to work closely, in our case as liaisons or whatever, is to hone and sharpen our awareness. It is not to challenge our teacher. It is not to challenge anything. It is to sharpen and hone our awareness to be of service to others. That's why you're close to a teacher. So if you work in the Ladang, you work in an organization, you work in the outlets, you work anywhere, you must reflect your teacher. Why is that? The whole purpose of you being there is to help others. How do you think you can help others if you yourself can help yourself? So how can you help yourself run away and go by yourself somewhere in a cave or in your home? No, you've been doing that your whole life. Hanging out by yourself, you haven't helped yourself, of course, with your teacher. You see, working for your teacher is not about working for your teacher. Working for your teacher is that you have the karma to be around someone who will make your awareness sharp and make your compassion grow at a fast, elevated, quick speed. Then you say, I'm not ready. You might never have that chance again. Never. How much did you have to go through to find a teacher in this life? It's very important. Very, very important. Page 59, top paragraph. Then I traveled on my own and noticed I had problems and I had no one to blame anymore. So it says here, sorry, it says Amaro's story, last paragraph 58. I was born in Italy in a small village called Borsai in the Dolomiti Mountains, and I grew up in a poor family living a simple life. Ever since I was young, I wanted to be useful to others. I grew up as a Christian and went to church regularly and used to teach catechism and serve mass until I was about 14 or 15. After compulsory army service in Italy, I felt dissatisfied with my life and in fact had always had an inner searching. So I traveled for a couple of years in the East when I was 21, hitchhiking from Italy to Pakistan to Nepal and India. I was on a search, but I didn't really know what I was looking for. I used to blame my family, the government, politics, the church, and always thought that my unhappiness was caused by these external factors. Listen to this. I used to blame my family, the government, politics, the church, and always thought that my unhappiness was caused by all these external factors. Something incredible happened on the first trip that really showed me something. I traveled for a while with a friend, and we had problems. I used to blame him. Then I traveled on my own. I noticed I still had problems. And I had no one to blame anymore. I thought that everything was fine with me, but was unhappy because of others. I slowly had to realize that it was to do with me. I wasn't in Italy or with my family or my friend. It was quite painful, but somehow the finger turned from pointing to the outside to the inside. This was a great discovery, shifting to realize that what we have to work with is not so much what is out there, but is very much within ourselves. So what Mauro is telling us is very beautiful. He's telling us that he found what was wrong. His guru helped him. His guru devotion was not sitting at the guru's feet and serving, which he did, but his guru devotion was that last line. He found himself. He found out who was to blame for his problems. That is guru devotion. That's real guru devotion. If we're devoted to our guru, gifts and praises and candy and money and ang paos and all these things are the guru needs. I won't deny it. But if he's a real guru, that's not what he's looking for. See, supporting a guru in his dharma work or bribing a guru is different. Supporting a guru in his dharma work by being his sponsor or helping him intellectual knowledge or money or skills, he'll use that to benefit others. But giving that to your guru to be excused from doing practice or to be excused from yourself or to be excused from changing yourself, So, I sweep up for the guru every day. I cook for the guru every day. I'm in his house and I do this and this for the guru every day. So I don't have to change. I don't have to transform myself. I don't have to change myself. Why? I offer him that what? Is that what your guru needs? Yeah, he needs it, but is that what your guru actually is after? If you think your guru is after that, you won't be enlightened. Why? You have the wrong view of your guru. Wrong view. So if I sponsor my guru and I offer things that he needs, am I accepted from transforming myself? Of course you're not. Do you know why you're not? Because in the end, you have to die without any exception to anybody else. You die with no exceptions. So in fact, living and serving and teaching and working and doing things with your guru should make you even more better and wonderful. And if you can't get along with your guru's students and friends and other members and outside people, it will build up to a point where you can't even get along with your own guru. It will definitely build up. Why will it build up? How much can we do before the water? How much can you fill the bucket till the water comes out? It will definitely. One day you will fight with your guru. If you don't fight, you'll run away. If you don't run away, you'll make excuses. If you don't make excuses, you will shut off. Is it the guru's fault? The guru is too wrathful or too pushy? No. If the guru is too wrathful and pushy, he will be like that with everybody, not just you. So if it's just you, maybe that's the method that you need. But if you run away, you run away from yourself. So you think, I need 1-2 years off. That's 1-2 years you've gone off from yourself and wasted. Very simple. So you can see that in this book. It's not something that crazy Tamarachi made up and he wants a bunch of cultists following him doing what he says. You read it here. These are people we never even met. Never. What I've been explaining and sharing with all of you is universal truth, universal Buddhism. Universal. If you listen to it and listen to the meaning and not the provisional meaning, I love that word, you will understand Dharma. It's very simple. So, the whole point of meditation and attending teachings is to change our fundamental attitude. Let me repeat, that's a summarization. The whole point of attending meditations or doing your sadhana or doing prayers or doing Dharma work or doing Dharma activity or being part of the committee, the whole point of that is to change your fundamental attitude. Not a manifestation of that, not manifestation of that attitude, but a fundamental change. A manifestation of the attitude and a fundamental change is very different. A manifestation is you just pretend to be nice. You just pretend to be patient. You pretend to be compassionate. You just hold yourself till someone steps on your toes and you lash out at them. Oh, yes. But if you attend teachings and practice and your meditations and sadhanas and commitments correctly, which is to apply it to yourself, you will see a fundamental change in your attitude. Whatever you do remains the same, but the fundamentals change. When the fundamentals change, it will be different. That's why when a normal person like myself scolds people, I can make enemies. If my high gurus like Swamiji scolds people, he will transform their mind. So do we have that power of scolding? To transform people's minds? To plant seeds of Dharma in their mind? If we're very advanced, we can visualize ourselves as Yamataka or Hiruka and shout at a person and scream at a person. It will plant seeds of enlightenment in their mind. No one will know. You'll see that person as a normal person shouting. They'll see it as you shouting, and they'll be very angry. They probably hate you for the rest of their lives, but you planted Yamataka's blessing in them. Many ways. People don't understand. So people look, that guru is so fierce, shout like that. People are very judgmental. They know nothing. They have no knowledge. High lamas can manifest themselves as a yidam and shout and clear obstacles. How do you know? There are high lamas who can shout at spirits and make them go away by shouting, "Get out!" The spirit will run. Immediately. They don't need pujas. They don't need rituals. They can even burn their hair. They can send their hair to that place, and when they burn that hair, the smell of that lama will be there. The spirit will run. Why? They know who the lama is. Oh, they are very accomplished beings like that. You trust me. You don't think everybody's like you and me, clowns. Go to a Taoist master, perfus here, wear pendants, wear chakras, wear vajrayoginis, buy another chakra, buy another book, do pujas, black tea, protect me, protect me. After the puja, the black tea, the chakras, you still see the guy with no head standing there. Think about it. Yeah. Some of us do all kinds of meditation. Wah, wah, wah. When they wake up in the meditation, all the other monsters are sitting there going, wah, wah. And they're like, uh-oh. And some even do wrathful pujas, you know? They do wrathful pujas, and the spirits as pujas do a wrathful puja back. They drive car. Pfft. Oh, yeah. Don't be so presumptuous. But highly attained beings, not necessarily lamas, not necessarily men, women, not necessarily even Tibetan. Highly accomplished beings can take even their hair and burn it at a place. And those spirits will run. Oh, they will. You burn it. Highly accomplished beings. You can even go to the spirit and say your lama's name. My lama's blah, blah, Rinpoche. You go away. They will go away by the power of your lama. But you need to have your lama's permission. You can't simply just say, hey, Tenrinchi told you to get lost. That's it. Me and you in big trouble. That ghost will be very busy at night visiting me and you. What did you say, Tenrinchi? Oh, I was just kidding. Please don't cut my head off. Yeah. But if your lama is accomplished and he tells you, tell the spirit that Tenrinchi said, get lost. Then you go and tell him, excuse me, Mr. No Head. And the ghost would be like, rah. He'd be like, Rinpoche said, oh, Tem Rinpoche said, vamos, out, go away. Then he'd be like, oh, Tem Rinpoche, uh-oh. They say, well, who the heck is Tem Rinpoche? Then he uses his third eye, which is not on head, no head here. So he clairvoyantly looks at your guru, and your guru is a clown. He says, you're going to get it now. But if he clairvoyantly looks at your guru, and your guru is Yamantaka, or Hiruka, or Vajrayini, the spirit say, ooh. So if you're not highly realized, the best thing is when you have problems like that, you meditate on compassion. You think about their rebirth. You think about why they became a spirit. You think about how they're suffering from loneliness and cold and from lack of nutrition and food and drinks, and they're thirsty and they have to wander like that for hundreds of years. You immediately make an offering of incense to the Buddhas to them, and you pray for them immediately. You don't try to do all kinds of weird supernatural meditations, because once they enter into you, that's it. You don't want to do some meditation on the smakra, you know? You open up your chakra, open, and then the guy goes in and close, and you're like, oh, dear. And they can't enter. They can enter through your chakra here. They can enter through 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 there. They can enter. They got many entrances they can enter. And once they enter, you're going to have a friend for life. Then you go to Rinpoche, help. Rinpoche's telling you, I can't help. Well, it's too late. It's too late, what? Once you break your arm, don't ask me for a chakra for protection from accidents. Well, I broke my arm. Can I have a chakra protect me? I'm broken. Get lost. What to do? So once when the spirit enters through you, maybe through your tongue or something, oh, then you got to be very careful. Could you see you at some nice Dharma wedding party licking people? I got more than I licked for. Just think about that. Scary, huh? I didn't hear about spirits entering through the tongue, but let's make it up. Imagine you go home and your tongue's possessed. Hi, Mom. Hi, Pop. Hi, Mr. Policeman. Oh. Can you imagine your tongue gets possessed? You become licky, licky ghost. Just think about that. Then I'd get a picture of JP and Om, 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 licky, licky, Hongbei, protect me. And then you go, because it, you know, enters you deeper. Yeah. Isn't that exciting? Don't you like that? A licky, licky ghost.